Laura D'Souza, and you're listening to John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM. Recently, I interviewed a band from the West Island of Montreal, Ivytide. With over 109,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, Ivytide has gained popularity with their indie pop music. Myself, as well as many recent listeners, discovered their songs on social media platforms such as TikTok. You may even recognize their song Westside from one of their viral videos. In this interview, we discuss their popularity on TikTok, as well as what being a band from Montreal is like. Without further ado, Ivytide. So I'll just ask you to introduce yourself first, starting with Nathan.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Nathan. I am the lead singer, and I play some rhythm guitar in the band.
I'm Kyle, and I play bass in the band.
I'm Jamie, and I play guitar.
That's really cool. Thank you. So how did you come up with the name Ivytide? Like, where did that come from?
That's a good one. We're trying to like think of words that really encapsulated like the sound that we were going for.
Mm-hmm.
And like flowers was very much a theme and a vibe that we had. So,
and like waves.
Yeah, waves. So then we were trying to like put those two together. And then I think we were trying like Ivy something. Mm. Ivy. We were like filling in the words.
Ivy smile.
Ivy. We went with a lot of different variations. And then at some point, one of the guys mentioned like Ivytide. And that's when we were like, oh shit, ooh, we've never said that one before.
Yeah.
I discovered you on TikTok, and I was wondering how TikTok and social media has really affected you, and like how it's helped you get your music out there.
It's definitely become a good marketing tool. You get into these niches that allow people who would be interested in your sound to discover your sound. And, you know, social media has become such a great tool for marketing in general. Mm. For music now, the visual aspect of it is becoming more and more important in, you know, the way that you release music. It's opened a lot of doors for us, and it brought us to a lot of new connections with people.
Yeah, musicians don't sleep on TikTok, man.
Also, discovering a lot of Montreal-based people through media platforms is great, like Montreal artists.
For sure.
That brings me to my next question. I was wondering what it's like to make music in Montreal, like if you think having all the resources is really helpful or if there's more competition.
Good question. I think it's been good for us because we've been able to meet lots of really cool artists and been able to like write and lots of people in the community and kind of make real relationships out of that, which has been really nice. And yeah, I think it can be intimidating to like, I don't know, you just see people on social media or on Spotify and you're like, oh my God, these people they're so popular or they're so good. Like I'm nervous to work with them. Mm-hmm. And then people are like so down to earth. Possible that there could be some competition, I think, but we haven't experienced that really. Usually everyone's always super interested in like helping everyone grow together. That seems to be the vibe that we've had experience with.
And how did you guys meet? Like how did this come together?
It was actually like very random because basically I was writing some music when I was younger. This was in like high school or CJEP years. And I didn't really show anyone the music that I was writing except one friend who is a musician friend. And he told me to get my songs recorded at a studio, but I didn't really know any studios to go to. I didn't have much money. So he told me about the studio of a friend that he works with, his brother's sister's studio. So I just knew the name. I tried to look it up on the internet.
It did not
exist. So all I had was a phone number. So I called up the studio, booked a session, and this man right here.
I happened to be there.
Yeah. It was your studio, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we worked on some solo projects together, and then we like developed some chemistry. We hit it off, fell in love. And then it was when we started like playing shows. Mm. We wanted to incorporate kind of like more people. And then you guys, how did this?
Jamie and I, we played in bands before. We played in a punk rock band when we were younger. So that's initially how we met. Yeah, it was very different back then when I initially met Jamie. And then also when I initially met Nathan. The band wasn't the band when we first met.
True, eh? You
know, it only formed maybe 4 months after we had first all started playing together.
Yeah.
Nathan and Jamie brought in Shadows, the first one of the first songs we had made.
Whoa.
A demo for it. And I said, what do you think about trying to make music in this genre? And I was like, oh, wow, amazing. Let's do it.
Yeah, and have you ever thought of branching out into different genres? I know you're kind of focused on like chill kind of pop music right now, but...
Yeah, I think we're slowly doing it. I think we released one song that was a bit more like upbeat with some like pop punk kind of vibes. I don't know. It was more poppy than our other stuff, at least. Call it what you want. Way too much. Need to calm down. Call it what you want. Got me bummed out. Got me stressed out. No, I'm stressed out. You was falling for my best side, baby. I ain't perfect all the time.
I ain't perfect all the time.
On and off for a while now, maybe. Can we try to work it out? Really excited about being super upbeat, and then the one after Rent Free has like a rap verse on it,
yeah.
Where Nate just like goes hard, and I've never done that before.
Do it, gotta do it.
Gotta do it. Run a blessing on my bedside. Say a prayer, then I curl up in a flat tire. Yeah. I didn't mean to beg you for next time. Come up with your best lie. I don't wanna know why you. The movement in your face, you didn't want a hickey, but you didn't want to stay. Why'd you come to visit if you're tripping by the trace? But also it hurts if you don't. Acting a stranger, just to flirt with the known. I pull my phone out to stare at the glow. I feel afraid today that you stay away. Stick in my head like a stone. Know you live here in free, chilling in the penthouse. Ooh. Yeah, got me in a frenzy, you ain't never signed no. Some new stuff we're really excited about that kind of goes into both those areas, mm-hmm. as well as gets into some kind of like more experimental stuff. So
yeah, I think we were like trying to find our sound a lot at the beginning.
True.
Like we were experimenting so much first EP. We were like doing psychedelic
experimental
stuff.
Yeah.
Right now I think we found kind of like what Sue says best a little bit, but we're still trying to see how we can push kind of like the mold for that.
Yeah.
What's your inspiration for your newest EP?
So there's a Canadian artist who we're all very kind of like inspired by. His name's Versace. He's not like, huge, but like within our genre, he's the man.
Yeah.
So we've been kind of influenced by his sound a lot. Claro.
For sure.
Still Woozy have been
true.
Good influences. Dominic Fike.
Yeah.
Personally, he's my guy. That's my guy right there.
For sure.
Did you also mean like thematic inspirations? Like what were the songs written about?
Yeah, that's a great question too. Not just musical inspirations, but the themes as well.
So a lot of the songs on the last EP are very much revolving around the topic of relationships, the very push and pull aspect of them, assessing early phases, mid phases, late phases of a relationship. Yeah, it goes very deep into that area.
Yeah, the title itself is called Softy because it's like we're kind of like being vulnerable and showing kind of like our softer side and kind of going into the parts of a relationship that sometimes you don't want to talk about. And I feel like it's kind of therapeutic for us to dive into those topics together.
Yeah. And what was making music like during quarantine? Like, did you really miss performing or do you think you got to focus more on the new songs?
Yeah, we really do miss it for sure. It's really been
quite
a long time for us. We're hoping to do something soon.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But we really did miss performing. Although we were lucky in that we record and like write everything ourselves, so we were able to like kind of like huddle in and just like bear down and do it for that whole time, and we're still doing it, and so it helped us release a lot of new stuff.
Yeah, because when we're not practicing for shows and stuff, we get to write more. So in kind of that sense, we grew as a band in terms of like our songwriting much faster, just because we focused on that the whole time.
True.
And did you do any like online performances? What was that like?
Yeah,
I guess we did.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
We did a few.
I think maybe three or two or three like actual throughout that.
I went live too, like sometimes. It was fun. Sure, it's like definitely a different kind of vibe because
the engagement aspect is
different. It's cool to see that people are tuning in from like everywhere around the world.
Yeah.
It's definitely weird because like beyond your phone, there's like you're playing to your no one. It's like your empty room.
There's none of that live aspect. No one's right in front of you to give that response back. So it's very different, I guess.
Like a real beauty of playing live is the sharing of energy between the crowd and you on stage as a performer.
Yeah.
And not having to work with really changes the flow of the performance. And, you know, it's very different. I definitely prefer playing to a live crowd. Hopefully we can do it
soon. Hope so. Anyways, what advice would you give to yourself like when you were first starting out? Is there anything you would have changed or focused on more, maybe?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Never thought about
that. I don't have any regrets. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything we did brought us here. Like, I'm happy we're here.
That's true.
We're doing pretty, like, we're all happy people.
Yeah.
And we're like learning stuff. So I don't know if I would tell us to like do anything differently because we learned a lot. Maybe I would say spend more time writing and less time playing shows.
I don't know because like,
but that was really fun.
That was fun.
We needed to kind of experience
that.
The way that it was the way it was. And that's fine.
Yeah. I'd say like release as much music as possible, I guess.
Mm, true.
I feel like at the beginning we were very much like holding on to stuff and we were like, we need to make sure it's the best music. And like before we release, we would take like maybe like a half a year to a year between releases sometimes.
Yeah.
But you just got to put stuff out, and the more stuff you have out, the more stuff people have to connect to, basically.
True.
Yeah. I think letting myself know in advance what listening fatigue could do to writing music.
True.
You know, like you've done songs and have to listen to them for so long that you eventually stop liking the things that you liked about the song initially. Mm-hmm. And then it happens with you because then you start to think, wait, should we not put this out anymore? Like we're liking it less and less. Is it just because we've heard it so much? That could really put some obstacles in the way when you're trying to put music out. So,
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, moving on, do you think you'll do music forever? Like, do you have other plans? Or will you try to continue this specifically?
I think we'll always be doing it as long as we're all like enjoying it. And
yeah, like, I can't imagine not having music in my life and not having these guys to do it with. Like, that would just make my life.
I definitely want to like have this go as far as I possibly can, and like there's no end in sight really. Like you always want to know what the ceiling could be, and have scratched the surface, you know, to where it could potentially go. So it's always exciting and constantly putting energy into making it happen. You know, I think that's, you know, truly putting energy into something that you share with two other great people, and you want it to go as far as possibly can. It's the best feeling.
You're so flattering.
And are you working on any new projects to keep this going?
Top secret information.
Oh my god. We actually went to a little cottage like up north, I guess, a little bit ago.
Shout out Heidi
for sure. Okay. Heidi. And we had an amazing time. We just wrote a lot of new stuff. And so we're currently working on like kind of refining that. And yeah, so we'll be releasing stuff at some point.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. And
we have some visual content too. We have some like live sessions that are dropping. Mm-hmm. Those are really cool. We did those with Deep Rock in Montreal, and we did some of them ourselves too. These guys are nailing those. So
also,
there's content and stuff
coming. Our boy Nick too, great guy. Maybe he'll take clients on
an expense.
A
lot of content lined up for sure.
What are the favorites?
My favorite one is definitely West Side. It's probably I think it's one of your most popular, but
especially being from the West Island, you know, I think that's so cool.
There you
go.
Yeah.
Is that heard on TikTok?
Yeah, definitely. That was my first song I heard. Yeah. And then from there, I was like, wow, I better check these guys out. They're from Montreal. I think that's so cool. Especially the West Island. Like, I never meet any artists from here.
Catch you on the West Side. I'm dealing with the West Side. Tell me that you've been tired. You just pulled an all-night. I know that you ain't kind. But you know what's the fuck about you. Living deep in my mind. I just wanna know about you. Think about the things that you do. I just wanna know about you. I can meet you on the West Side if you got time. I've been thinking about you. See you hopping at the 4-5 to my bed night. We'll be West Side. I can meet you on the West Side if you got time.
Thank you so much for talking to me. Nice to meet you.
Sweet. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you.
And that was the interview with Ivy Tide. Thank you for listening to John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM. Signing off, this is Laura DeCisa. Have a nice morning.
Hello everybody, my name is Justin Carrier and alongside Emily Sauvé, and today we will be telling you about Seasky, an on-campus streaming service available to anyone, anywhere, through a link, streamed right here on campus. Seasky is streamed from a room in the basement of Herzberg, where DJs, as they call them, use their 1.5-hour shifts to play whatever music, media, or interviews to their listeners. It's been known to give students a feeling of belonging and purpose. Here with more about Seasky's effect on students, Vice President Jake Geronimo.
It's a really fun experience for students. I think it's a way to sort of get you out of your shell, but not really, because it's not like a... Like, you have your own shift, you can have it, like, with your own friends, or you can invite more people. Like, I think it's just a great opportunity to get to know people, like... in your own pace, if that makes sense. You also get to spread joy through music, your music tastes. You get to connect with other people if your music tastes are similar, or if not, you know, like, we're all just here to have fun, we're all just here to listen to good music. You'll hear this a lot, but John Abbott can get hectic at times. There's a lot of students moving at the same time. There is construction going on right now, so it's even more crowded. why C-Sky is good is that you have this like little room in the basement of Casgrain that's soundproofed, where you can just blast music, hang out with your friends. It's just, it's like a second home, if you will, because you know, often I just spend my time here if I have nothing to do on campus, so it's always there.
All right, I'm Noah Deskin, the president of C-Sky. All right, so C-Sky for me was super important. In my first semester, I was actually the last to join the club, but I found it has been super constructive for me because previous to Sejep, like in high school, I wasn't super involved in anything and I felt like demotivated. But C-Sky is one of the things that has helped me like really enjoy getting involved and like actually enjoying student life. So not only has it been a good outlet for my passion of music and being able to share that with other people, but it's just been a really good way to actually enjoy what school is past just getting a grade, you know? There's so much more to it.
Standing outside of the C-Sky room, we see students walking in and out of the room itself. Not DJs themselves, but rather friends of DJs, just there to shake off some stress and enjoy some good music with their friends. Let's see what some of them have to say.
Yeah, I actually have a friend who's part of C-Sky. She's a DJ there, and sometimes I like to go and like sit with her during her shifts, and it's a really great and fun environment.
So there you have it. C-Sky obviously has its effect on those directly involved with it, but also those around not involved directly. This has been Emily Sove and Justin Carrier on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Hi everyone, this is Julie Bergeron,
Ethan El-Harar,
and Melina Papanasasoulis on CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the air, and today we are interviewing students from Anna Golden's horror film class and discussing with Anne about her liking for horror.
I love her energy. I'm always excited to have her class. Her opinions are great, and she's always open to, you know, hear about other people and their opinions on horror movies, even outside of the class. She's just overall a fun teacher.
I think Anne is one of the few teachers nowadays that actually knows how to, like, get through to her students. She knows how to, like, engage with them and interact, and I think that she has a very good taste in what she shows to her class, and yeah, I think it's just very interesting.
I've never really watched horror movies since I got into Anne's class, so seeing all the movie choices and everything she showed us really made me have a strong passion for watching horror movies.
I've been interested in horror films for, like, a long time, and I studied film and film genres, and I started writing about horror films. I attend regular screenings at a place called Monstrum, which is a Montreal horror, kind of like an association of horror professors and horror lovers. So yeah, it's just kind of, I think it's sort of in my DNA a little bit.
What's one of your favorite horror movies?
You know, every day would be a different answer. So I'm just going to give you a couple of suggestions. For me, is The Shining is right up there.
Here's Johnny.
Because I can still see things in it, even though I've seen it over 30 times. But I love films like Halloween, The Exorcist, The Thing, which I actually showed in this class this semester. So those are some of my favorites. But if you ask me tomorrow, probably I have a different list, you know. I tend to try to enjoy everything that I look at, but I would have to say I'm not so fond of sequels. So something like Halloween 4 is not right up there for me, right? So it's not all sequels are bad. Some are actually pretty good. But I would say that that one especially doesn't work for me. I really want to see, oh gosh, I'm not going to remember the title. Sorry about that. I'm always looking forward to seeing what Ari Aster is going to do next. So he did Hereditary, but also Midsommar. And I love Robert Eggers' work. He did The Witch and The Lighthouse. So I'm looking forward to The Northman, which is supposed to be with Anya Taylor-Joy. I think it's going to be released maybe in a year and a half or so.
Okay, and what horror movie would you mention to someone that have never watched one before?
Gosh, I'd have to actually sort of take that person's pulse a little bit and see what they can, because I wouldn't say to just anyone, watch The Exorcist, because it's pretty intense, and for anybody who has like a Catholic background, it might be problematic, right? But if somebody's seen horror before, I would totally say that film. But if somebody doesn't like horror, I would suggest something like Carrie, which is a really good film, but which is not that disgusting or horrific necessarily.
What was the last horror movie that genuinely scared you?
There's a film right now that's playing. It's called Titane, and it won the Palme d'Or at Cannes. It's really intense. It's about a woman who she has an accident when she's young, and she has a steel plate in her head, and it makes her really antisocial and really difficult and quite violent. And I saw it on the weekend, and it was so intense that there were parts where I was really, I wouldn't say scared, but really uncomfortable. But also not a film for everyone. I mean, I'm very fond of ghost stories. Some of my favorites are kind of things that are about the supernatural. So that can include ghosts, but poltergeists as well. But I love, there's an old film called The Innocents, which is based on The Turn of the Screw. So it's a real haunted house film about like a woman who becomes a governess, and we never know whether she's actually taking care of two ghost kids or two actual kids. It's really amazing film.
Anne Golden is an artistic director of group intervention video. She teaches in the media arts department at John Abbott College.
This was Julie Bergeron,
Ethan Alharar,
and Melina Papanassoulis
on CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the air, and we are asking students' opinions on Anne Golden's horror film class and questioning Anne on her liking for horror.
Do you hear that? Well, get used to it. Because when winter comes to campus, so do the herds of cold students trying to keep warm. We run around campus asking people what they think Jack can do to make students more comfortable during the winter semester.
So I'm actually half Amerindian, and I don't really mind the cold at all. So personally, I don't really care about it as long as they keep the path open, and they especially need to put down salt so no one gets hurt. But other than that, I really don't mind.
Serena? So I sit outside most of the time, and every time I try to go into the caf or the library, it's always full. So I really hope this big white tent they randomly put in front of AME is going to be filled with picnic benches or something where we can sit during the winter.
Hi, I'm Ava, and I think the school could open up more spots for students to sit in the winter to make it more comfortable and enjoyable.
Hi, I'm Tiffany, and I believe that things that people can do to make the school better during the wintertime is that a lot of college students suffer from seasonal depression, and I think that the school should open up more resources to get mental help, as well as offer like maybe some animals could come in, like little puppies, and offer some support in order to make their day better.
Hi, I'm Lucas, and I think that since I don't really bring gloves or hats to school, we could maybe have hand warmers sold in vending machines or at the Abbott store. We could maybe also have Abbott-style hats or gloves.
Hey, I'm Alyssa, and I think if the school gave out free hot chocolate during the winter semester, it would make students feel really comfortable.
Did you hear that, John Abbott? The students have spoken. With all the construction around the building and the upcoming cold weather, things are bound to get hectic. But students took the liberty to come up with ideas so you don't have to. This has been Emily Sove and Justin Carrier on CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the air.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. This is John Abbott on the air. I'm Evie Stockvis. See you next time.
journée. Un peu partout, y'a fait chanter, vive la Noël. Y'a fait célébrer la naissance de Jésus-Christ. Son frère sans discrimination. Minuit sonnait. Ça crève la messe qu'après chercher la délivrance. Ça cap chercher quand t'es yo joigne yo réveillon. Pour yo capable couler le son. Noël, faites la joie, faites l'amour. Jour de réconciliation pour toute cette fête si fâcheuse. Noël, c'est jour chrétien réuni. On s'embrouille la prière, chanteux, c'est le Dieu. Noël, dans mon petit monde tête collée, riche qu'on vend, paille l'homme, bouillon fêté. Que tout petit monde comprend, nous tous dans la rue, allons belle époque,